I am Brandon of Twex.com, and I draw the pictures.
I'm Colin, and I write the words.
Wow.
That's awesome. That really is awesome.
That's very cool.
I like that.
Twex Podcast. Welcome. It's nice to have somebody on the other end of this podcast again, so we're not just bitching at each other the entire show, eh?
It's probably best to have that bitching be tempered by a wonderful third party.
I feel like our quality dips every time we don't have a guest. I know they're not bad, I get it, but it's like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. I talk to you all day long.
It's true.
Fuck. Gotta have that fresh blood.
I am Brandon of Twex.com, and I draw the pictures.
I'm Colin of Twex.com, and I write the words.
No, I'm Raven Perez of Ravensdojo.com. I both write the words and draw the pictures.
Fantastic.
And switch accents on the fly.
Nah, it's just my most terrible fear is that I'll do that with somebody actually British on the line. They'll just be horrified and disgusted.
But that's part of the fun, because you could, like, you could try. Well, because I've tried to do that around, I've got an English neighbor, and I'll try and do that sometimes. It's funny, though, if they try and do what they would consider the regular English, the North American accent.
The American accent. I had somebody, like, she was a Canadian, and she said, oh, I should have known that you were from America, from your American accent.
Hang on, was that your Canadian accent?
No, I was totally doing her a favor. I was doing her a favor. And, she was way more ridiculous and cliche, but like she said, the key emphasis there is when she said, by your American accent. And I was like, what the hell? Is that how you hear us?
No.
America.
How is that?
America.
America.
America. Welcome to America.
Okay.
Yes, that's the filter we all have on when we can speak. Oh, God.
America. No wonder they hate us. No wonder the world hates us.
So we have to thank Gary Cohen early on for referring you to us.
Yeah, that jerk.
Hate that guy.
Damn Gary.
No, but seriously.
He writes it, I know. Gary loves to fuck with me, so I like to fuck with Gary, so it's fun.
It's best.
It's really
mutual
is.
Fucking.
He likes to fuck with people.
He loves to take a piss right out. Like, I had somebody, like, who shall remain nameless, that was like, I'm really worried I offended Gary. And I was like, don't sweat it. I said, I guarantee he was just making you, he was just, you know, putting you on.
Oh, it's true.
If anybody ever did, like, authentically make him upset or uncomfortable, I don't think you'd know.
It'd be like Taken.
I don't think it's possible. How do you offend Gary?
That's all right. You should probably say something deeply wounding about his comic.
Oh, yeah, you know what? But that's a line we won't cross.
We will. That Mallville is mad. No, I'm kidding.
I said
Gary's
we
wouldn't. Anus was clenched in rage as he heard those words, and then release.
I said we wouldn't cross it. I didn't say you couldn't.
No, actually, I love Mallville, and Gary is, you know what's awesome about Gary is he's one of those people that is like, you talk to people on the internet, and usually most people are just text on a screen, so even if what they write is funny, they're not funny people through the internet. Gary's a funny bastard.
It's true. You know what? I am thoroughly entertained. His tweets keep me motivated throughout the workday.
And he never seems to stop either. Like he can't, like a Roger Rabbit, like he can't turn it off.
It's like late at night. He's been drinking. Are you guys still listening to me? I'm saying funny stuff. This is gold. Where the fuck are you guys?
He's sitting on the toilet taking a shit. And it's like, he's like, ha 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 ha.
And I just got an image of Gary.
That's you, Gary. Because I know he's going to listen.
All right. So with that. Tell us about Raven's Dojo.
Raven's Dojo is maybe one of the oldest websites on the internet. It's painfully old. I actually figured it out the other day, and I got started in 98.
Holy crap.
Holy shit.
Right, I know. It's totally like like somebody was like talking about another comic that got started in 96, and I was like, well, that's not such a big deal. But I got the difference is, key difference, no ego. They got started and never stopped and always did a good job. Raven's Dojo is old as hell, but like I had a lot of fucked up years where I was chasing tail more than being a comic artist. So not good, but it did start in 98.
I let you no bones about admitting that. Yeah, you know what? When I should have been drawing the comic, I was trying to get some pussy.
That's what happens. I mean, you know, it made being a comic artist later in life a lot easier. I just get that shit out of the way when you're young. You just don't even give a shit. Like,
but think about all that sexual energy you just threw out there. You could have saved for the comic. Then it would have been really fucked up.
You know what's so funny is that like anybody who's ever read Raven's Dojo knows that like it's, you know, got naughtiness in it of a sexual nature. And if you've never read it, you know it does. But now you know. But it's like everybody, like my personal, like real life friends are always like, hey man, I've been reading the comic. Aren't you getting any?
What?
I'm like, guys, I'm always horny. I'm the cliche, always horny guy. But the difference was, is in 98, it would hit a point to where I'd actually have to go pursue humans.
I must find humans to mate with.
This sock isn't cutting it anymore.
What a sex life, not a socks life.
Oh my god.
Now it's just super, but the funny thing is that it's a super old comic, and because it never really, 2008, all those years later, 10 years later, was actually the serious reboot of the comic. And by serious, I mean that I didn't take on any side projects and I really tried to do as much as I could on every single page. So in 2008, I rebooted everything and really went like balls to the wall on it. And it's even weirder still because the characters, Rodney and Dornell, are older than even the internet. I was drawing them since before kindergarten. So it's a weird thing, Raven's Dojo. But if you had to put in, like, I guess what it's about, it's just those two characters have this secret history, and the world was made to forget about them. So they are kind of in, like, a retirement-like place where they're just on this tropical island making, you know, their roommates' lives hell. But then their secret past keeps coming out, and, you know, little by little, you find out more and more about it. And a lot of ass-kicking, a lot of dumb fun. It's more than anything, it's like a superhero comic if it didn't take itself seriously at all. So, it's kind of like that.
Oh, sorry. I mean, I was definitely pulling a lot of interesting influences out of there. Like, do you have kind of a particular anime influence of any kind?
Yeah, it's unavoidable. absolutely. It's not one, I guess, thing. Maybe one more than the other. I was hardcore into that shit way back when. So, I mean, it's kind of weird because, like, that Japanese, like, art style, even when it was just, like, little illustrations in Nintendo manuals. Like, I don't know, did you guys play the first Legend of Zelda?
Oh, the art in those manuals, I obsessed over.
Exactly.
I sat there, like, I would carry them around. I honestly had, like, a little bag that I carried them around in, and then I would sit down with my sketchbook and be like, I'm going to draw Mega Man today.
Mega Man, I must have drawn the Robot Masters and Link, like, from those manuals, like, 100 million times, so I had that shit, like, early on, like, I didn't even know, like, the thing is, I didn't even know what the hell I was looking at. I didn't know it was from another land. I was just a dumb kid, so I was just like, you're awesome. So, of course, you know, TV was pumping the shit to us, too, like Voltron.
Oh, sure. I mean, that was the beginning. That was the onslaught of anime and anime-influenced cartoons. I mean, obviously that stuff had been around for a long time, but the 80s really drove it into us.
Yeah. I mean, it was everywhere. And like I said, you don't care where it's coming from. You just know you like it. So I got started on it super early. And then when I came into like having, you know, when I was a teenager and had a brain to know what I was looking at, know what I was looking for, I was like hardcore into Ranma, which was funny. It's kung fu comedy. If you never read Ron Mahaff.
I haven't.
Leave this podcast now.
All right, see ya, click.
Okay, no, so Googling that later.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And it's just honestly, the comedy, the physical comedy on it was just so amazing. Like, not even the art style. If people are like, what's your art style influence? It's like this weird love child of American stuff. And obviously, like, I don't think I could draw a female that didn't have the little like anime nose and the little dashes at the corner of their and giant fucking eyes. Like, if you read Raven's Dojo, you notice dudes kind of like look like whatever. But women all kind of look like that.
But that also, that tends to be a staple of anime in general.
Yeah, the women look generic.
Well, no.
No, it's true. I know, I'll admit it. Like, yeah. I've got my...
No. Like, what I'm saying is the big eyes, the over-the-top expressions are very, very common with female characters, but as soon as you get into the dudes in animes, especially the nondescript, non-important dudes, they're kind of like, wow, you guys really just kind of drew that dude. Like, there's no... Because the girls have these big, glossy, shining eyes all the time, and there's this dude across the way. It's like, you just did two dots for his eyes. He doesn't even have a nose, does he? What the hell?
It was kind of like, and it was weird too, because like the other thing that like really artistically, I know it's so bad. I shouldn't have looked at Twitter at all because I'm thinking of those damn questions and I'm like answering a question now. But like the Archie, I grew up in West Virginia. There were no comic stores anywhere. So the comics that I had around me were like Archie and Nintendo Power and stuff. So I get Archie at the grocery store, and you know Archie, if you've ever read Menage 3, like, that shit is confused for anime. It's weird. It's weird. It's definitely its own American comic, but, like, you, all the women all look the same, have the same nose and mouth and eyes. Hair might be a little different, but they all basically look the same with different hair. And it's a weird thing. I don't know. It's kind of that.
Well, it's a stylistic choice. I mean, if you settle on something that's very, very visually appealing in terms of the design of a character, it's not uncommon for a lot of shows to reuse that in all of their characters.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, don't you find there's some tropes that you just find yourself, you can't help but gravitate towards visually?
I like boobs.
Fuck yeah, we're a good company. I'm the boob-lovinest motherfucker that ever lived.
Boob-lovinest.
Boob-lovinest motherfucker. We need to make a t-shirt that says that. I expect that to be on some kind of store soon.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, you can't hide it. Just embrace those giant boobs.
Oh, I do.
That's all. Yeah, just embrace them. They're easier to draw.
So do you have, speaking of drawing, do you have formal training?
I was self-taught all the way up until, I don't know, 2002 I went to college. But I went to college for graphic design. So, and it was like, I don't know, every artist has that weird thing where they don't, there's two different artists, the kind they're like, yeah, I'm trained or whatever. And then there's the other artists that like have a point of pride that no one trained them. And I taught myself for a long time, and I was, like, super proud of it. But, like, it was good to go to college for graphic design, but it really didn't teach me anything about drawing. It, more than anything, just sort of, like, forced me to acknowledge that I was comfortable with the level of quality that was not really good. So it's funny because it's, like, the training that I had was more, like, I came into college thinking I was hot shit, and I went back and looked at the art I was making back then, and I was like, oh my god, I was a moron, you know, this is, where was the line weight? There was no, you know, you had the most shitty perspective on earth, like, what the hell were you doing? So, well, it was lame, because, like, I knew perspective and, like, all that shit, but I was just, like, ignoring it. I just slop it out and be like, good enough, and, like, yeah, so I have some formal graphic design training. I don't know how much that helps with art. Like, where I really learned, like, cartooning was from magazines. You know, this is a pre-internet era. A lot of copying. I copied a shit ton of Wolverine and Ghost Rider and just any Nintendo manual I could get my hands on. And, like, Wizard Magazine, if you guys remember that, had those...
Oh, my God.
Did yes. you guys... You Wizard Magazine readers?
Yeah, I had a subscription for a time. And those, like... Depending on the artist they got, it was either incredibly good advice or the worst advice they could possibly give you. You would either end up with, like, anatomically correct characters. You'd be learning true anatomy and form, or you would be learning the worst possible habits when it came to drawing people.
Oh, yeah. And, like, especially when they would have dudes on there that you, like... The thing I say about formal training is that, like, anything training-wise can be replaced by just practice. So, yeah. If you were, like, out there thinking, man, I should go to college. Raven went to college and he got better. No. I went to college and all it was a big splash of water in my face saying, hey, asshole, you're phoning it in. Stop phoning it in. You just, know this stuff.
Just remember, if you want to be a doctor... Plenty of homeless dudes you can go out there and start operating
all
on.
You need is practice.
You do it enough.
Like, their organs aren't going to, you know, extract themselves.
And then you can sell them on the black market for...
Get good enough at harvesting, and eventually you'll learn how to put them back in.
Just, I want some advice. I recommend invest early on in a good Samsonite cooler. I can't stress this enough. Anyways... Wow.
Also, make sure it's the guys with the beards. They're harder to identify.
You know? All right. You know what? On that note, tell us about... Well, it's not really on that note at all. But tell us about your Kickstarter.
The Kickstarter is going on currently. It ends December 12th. Of course, if you don't know, Kickstarter's the bomb because you don't have to pay anything unless it succeeds. So we still have quite a way to go. We got like $5,679. We're shooting for 14K. So December 12th is when we need to hit that goal. I've seen crazier shit happen on Kickstarter, so I still have faith. But get in there, and even if you don't have any money, because, man, I know it's Christmas. I understand that. You know, just tell a friend. You know, tweet, retweet, Facebook, whatever. But, yeah, it's going on. Shit tons of... The thing is about the rewards is when I look at a lot of Kickstarter rewards, I'm like, you know what? You're basically just giving me prints and shit. Like, I want something super kick-ass unique. So, like, everything that I, like, put in there, there's some of that stuff. There's people are going to get on there and be like, what the fuck, prints? Hypocrite! But no, there's a lot of stuff in there that is going to be hard worked on when you get it in your possession. Like things, one-of-a-kind stuff for the Kickstarter that shit that I never want to do outside of a special reward just for this Kickstarter. So a lot of kick-ass rewards, a lot of extra like stuff, tons of print exclusive shit. I got tons of talented artist friends contributing to this book. You can check out like samples of the print exclusive stuff. I don't know, man. If you go, it's a feast. There's a feast right there just on that Kickstarter page.
So So my best call on this is like, so if you're out there and you want to see this book come into existence, retweet it, Facebook it, share it with people if you're a fan. If you're not a fan, you see it and you like it, then do the same. The biggest thing that I like to talk about when it comes to these Kickstarter campaigns is that it's you're supporting an artist. It's not just some company putting shit up on there, although I have seen that. Hey guys, we're doing a compilation and we're not going to do any of the art for this compilation. We're going to get artists like you to submit to it, but you guys are going to pay us to make it. It's going to be great.
Is that weird? Don't you wonder if they're like, you just want to just like put a comment and be like, who the fuck are you fooling?
But I think, you know what I think? I think they think they wake up in the morning, it's like, I have an idea. I will do no work, but I will get other people's work into this
compilation, and I will sell it as my own.
Well, here's a question for you. Do they make money?
For exposure. Well, yeah, they do. They make money off of it, but the whole idea it is it, behind this is that they'll make money, but the artists or anybody that submits...
Oh, I was just establishing that they're not dumb. They're just jerks.
Oh, no, no, no. I never said they were jerks. I'm just saying.
No, I'm saying they're jerks.
Like, you know what's sad is there's a lot of people that still think that artists should do art because they love it for no other reason. And then there's a lot of people that think that artists should be happy to work for exposure. And to those people, I say, fuck yourselves.
Yes.
Kickstarter, what's awesome about it is that I made this fucking book. I drew every page except for the guest art. I'm going to be putting the shit into the pre-print files. Like, I did my own spell checking, all that crazy shit. Like, this is a labor of love. And when it's done, it's going to benefit me. Not like, ooh, I'm going to be a millionaire. Like, I can't stress that enough. That all that 14K does is cover the cost of printing and rewards.
Yeah.
No profit there at all other than the books. But it's not like some corporation where it's like, hey, man, let's get these books out. And then, you know, the artist is not really getting shit. This thing is going to be huge, like big help. So if you support artists, you'll get a lot back out of it. I mean, if I get these books, obviously, I'm going to be going to, like, conventions. I'm going to be shaking babies and kissing hands. It's going to be beautiful.
Are you kissing anything else?
I mean, other than just the fact that, like I said, these rewards are fucking awesome. I mean, I'm proud of my rewards. If you want to read the whole damn book, all 5 issues are online. The thing is finished. So if you're on the table, you're like, I don't know, this guy cusses or he's not making me laugh. Go read the book.
Yeah, you can see what you're getting.
You can see the whole
book, asshole. Yeah, no, definitely. And so, yeah, I want to stress that. This is a very cool thing. We've checked out the Kickstarter and the rewards you've got look really, really awesome. So if you're out there and you're on the fence about it, don't be on the fence about it anymore. Support it.
Get off that fence.
And get on to
it. Can't be very comfortable sitting on a fence anyway.
Kickstarter,
I mean,
horse? What?
I'd imagine it's electric, probably barbed wire. What's that going to do your ass?
Oh, nothing good.
You're going to take a shit and it's going to look like the Play-Doh factory. Not pretty.
Ooh, stars.
That's not pretty.
Well, without further ado, it's time for questions from the Nets.
Oh, shit.
It's begun. Now, I mean, yeah, you know what? I really do need to start telling people to DM me these things. Because I like the surprise. I don't the advanced notice. Ah, you know what? It's a... prompts other questions.
It is, and you know what's bad is that I was thinking of those questions as I answered, trying to avoid them, but like verbal diarrhea, I just kept answering them in my head.
Oh, like, God.
Who influenced you? Shit, I just said. I'm sorry.
That was probably our fault.
It's all good. It's all good. All
right, so Riley at Invade to Destroy asks, do you know art karate? If so, how did you learn it?
I do know art karate. I was taught by a venerable master, old bastard. No. I guess, you know what? I'm going to answer this. I'm going to try not to just joke these off because people ask them shit. You know what's cool? Secret, like Raven's Dojo bullshit. Or history. Secret history. Here we go. Is like the reason it's Raven's Dojo at all is because everybody back in the GeoCities days had like Bob's page, Chuck's page, like on their tripod account. So I thought, I'm going to be a badass. I'm going to have mine be like Raven's Dojo, right?
There it is.
Wow, so that, GeoCities.
A little like construction worker gif. So I made it as Raven's Dojo because I just thought I was being cool or different.
Oh,
and
God.
Threw it up in some marquee text and you never looked back.
Dude, and never. What's bad is that I registered the domain. I said I got started in 98. I registered the domain in like 2000. And so it's been Raven's Dojo, like, so on, like, from there, but, like, art karate, like, I had this, you know what's weird, and I've met other artists like this, that, like, have this bizarre, like, kung fu mentality with their art. Have you guys met artists like that? Where they, like, look at other artists as, like, challengers and shit?
What?
Nope, dude, that's new. I kid you not, it's a type of artist.
Oh my god! That's like, hilarious.
I'm going to learn your tricks.
I'm going to...
I've conquered you. Now, I was never that obnoxious with it, but I always thought of it as, like, that was a very public place to, like, practice and get better. So, yeah, yeah. Art karate? Yeah, I guess I'm still learning.
I will consume your style and add it to my own.
Exactly! Line work style fist.
I love it. I want to meet these artists.
Oh, man. Now it's on now. Now I'm going to start learning.
Don't worry, you know, I'll sabotage them. I'll pretend I have a great art style, and really they'll just acquire really shitty stickmen techniques.
Most of them play Street Fighter. There's a direct correlation. If you see a motherfucker talking about, like, Kung Fu, Bruce Lee, and Street Fighter, he probably is an artist who thinks that way.
Wow. All right, now I gotta keep an eye out for that shit.
Keep an eye. It exists. It's out there. It's out there, motherfuckers. You learned something just now.
Learn something every day.
All right, we have a string. Oh, no, wait, we're not at the string yet.
Oh, no, yeah, we're not at the string yet. You gotta ask that one first.
All right, we got Lynn of Six Color Stories. What has been your biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge? Just as, I know it doesn't specify. I'm looking at the tweet. But I know it doesn't specify, but I guess I'm going to assume it means, like, just with the comic, I guess.
Yeah, I would say, that, I mean, you could make it the biggest challenge you've ever had.
There, like, was this one burrito.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be food. It was like, it was going to be a hot dog or a burger. You picked burrito.
Oh, you know what? My biggest food challenge... Me and this dude got in a eating contest at a buffet, an Asian buffet, and I ate 17 plates to win.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I could never do that shit now.
17.
It took so long, everybody was mad at us.
I'll bet.
And there was bathroom breaks by both people.
Oh my god.
Big challenge. And finally, and they were like, did you go in there and puke? That's disgusting. And I said, no, I don't want to win that bad. But nevertheless, I did stop in the middle of the eating contest to use the damn bathroom and then kept eating. He did too. He might have puked. I didn't, but...
You were able to keep eating. Oh, shit.
It's disgusting. No, but the biggest challenge with the comic is it's definitely got to be the fact that... You have this thing that is weird for, like, it's got, like, kind of the stigma of being, I guess it's that people are of two minds on it. They either think it's just dirty and not for them, and or they just don't like, or they see, like, just like maybe Rodney and they think, oh, this is cute.
Right, and then they start reading it. And...
Yeah, I guess the biggest challenge, honestly, is that Raven's Dojo is a hard sell because it is kind of a thing that only really becomes evident what you're into once you get into it.
Right.
Because it's that fusion of the kind of cute characters and the, you know, occasional nasty bits.
Yeah, yep, that's it. That's the biggest challenge. Even for me, like on my Kickstarter, I can easily say that I didn't do a good job boiling it down to a tagline. Like, a lot of people's series have a really good pitch. Like, they say you gotta have a hook, right? But, yeah. Like, I can't boil my shit down to a hook.
Ooh, I know. I've got it. You ready? You ready for this?
Oh, no.
Help me.
It's Dragon Ball Z meets Ren and Stimpy Adult Party.
Okay, that was actually pretty good.
Seriously.
I'm okay with that. You know what's funny? A lot of people would say it's like Dragon Ball on crack.
And that's what Ren and Stimpy Adult Party was.
That was pretty cracked out, I admit.
That shit was messed up.
I never watched it.
Oh my god.
I only heard stories.
Out. It's on Netflix. It's fucked up.
It is fucked up.
Well, because they told... they go the Bert and Ernie route. Like, they officially are a gay couple, but, like, as dirty as can be, because it's Ren and Stimpy still.
Yeah, I could do that. Everybody says, if anybody says, like, fighting, like, see, for me, I definitely have Dragon Ball influences. I watched that shit when it was on Fox, like, early mornings, and, like, they didn't have it translated, so they play, like, 6 episodes in a row for, like, 3 months. Until they could get, like, another episode translated. But, like, definitely a Dragon Ball. But for me, it's so funny because I have so much, like, American print comic influence. Like, I kind of want to throw that in there somewhere. I don't know. To answer the question, I actually have a tough time selling my own damn comic. So, there you go. That's a challenge.
Well, and it can be really difficult to bring in those new readers if you don't have that kind of ready to go, open arms kind of feel to it. If there's any kind of complexity or depth that requires that kind of attention to really get into it, you're gonna have trouble bringing people in. Not in droves, anyway. I mean, the people who come in will stay, but getting them in is the tricky part, definitely.
It is, and you know, it's funny because people, I think, in, like, when you read print comics, like, I keep saying print comics, it's because that's just, I don't know, I'm doing my shit, like, issues, so it's such an influence that that's kind of even a way I, like, try to create it, but, like, if you read a lot of print comics, you're used to the idea that there's the title characters, and what is the book about? It's about their adventures, and that's it. All the explanation, like when you watch Looney Tunes, you didn't say, what's this cartoon about? You just knew Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd were going to have some stupid adventure.
But what does it mean?
what's the depth behind it? What's the backstory? The
subtext?
Oh, who did a comic on, you know, if you over story or you over try to, like, modern contextualize, it was Hate Farm. Hate Farm did one about Bugs Bunny specifically, and made them all have, like, serious problems and stuff like that. It was like, oh my god, what the fuck?
It is funny. It's just the I, honest to god, just have fun. It's dumb fun. It's the, I'm doing it just to have the most fun I can have. It's like the book of my dreams. So don't you overthink it. Just read it. You'll have fun too, I promise. Shit'll work out.
It's all gonna be okay, guys.
It was cool. Free. You know, fuck it.
So, it's now time for I Am Arg's questions.
Oh, yeah.
In a fight between a cat with no lives left and a Republican, who would make the world's greatest burrito?
I'm gonna say the Republican, but only because he would then only give the burrito to the wealthy. The cat would be more inclined to share.
Oh my god.
Therefore, he would be trying to reach a mass audience, can't appeal to everyone's tastes, compromise burrito.
I can't argue.
Then you can fill the burrito with money and really target your audience.
That's it. A burrito, a Republican has one audience, the wealthy, and so burrito perfecto.
I like it.
All right, next question.
Knocking him out of the park. Alright, in a world where jumping jacks is the currency, how many jumping jacks is it for a ride on your mom?
Well, my mom only likes the balls.
Oh!
So, jacks for mama.
Wow!
Next!
Do not, she does not accept jacks as legal tender.
Rejected!
Wow! Okay, so if the world ends and we all die on December 21st, 2012, what will you do on December 22nd?
I feel like I saw that one. Yeah, I guess I like to think that it's going to be like What Dreams May Come, where I get to make my own heaven. In which case, it'll just be like this fucking comic I'm making becomes reality. So, come on over to my heaven, guys. It's going to kick ass. There's boobs.
There's boobs and biting.
I got the boobs heaven.
You're just going to have this lineup of guys, and then all the women will be standing there, fuck are they doing going over there? What's going on?
I wish my heaven wasn't all about harps and clouds.
All right. How come Head and Shoulders isn't made from real Head and Shoulders?
We lack the technology. But I have heard that our far superior Chinese counterparts have the technology. I expect there to be authentic Head and Shoulders. And by that extension, I have to change the name to Head, Shoulders, Blood, Gristle, Eyeballs, Teeth. Might be like become abbreviated.
I was going to say, I might have to come up with a clever acronym.
Exactly, like HASLBETRG.
All right, so that's your homework. I want you to come up with a good, smooth-sounding acronym for when our eventual Chinese overlords launch the real Head and Shoulders.
Exactly. When America finally just gets off this little play pretty that we're still a superpower, we're not. We're China's bitch. It's okay. I'm cool with it. You be okay with it.
The sooner we all admit it. Really,
shoulders coming. It probably won't reduce dandruff. In fact, two heads is actually probably doubles your chances of dandruff, but whatever.
Oh, wow. That's a good point.
Think about it. In that way, it's inferior.
Finally, Andrew asks, if I ask you a series of dumb questions, will you answer them?
No. I refuse to compromise my integrity. I demand respect, and I won't become your dancing buffoon, bitch, so go draw a penis.
And that's exactly what we figured. That's so good. And he will.
And make it veiny this time.
You are arg. I said, you are arg is hard to say aloud. That's probably why it's called I am arg. And he was like, he answered me so seriously. He's like, actually, the comics has quite a bit of angst. So the title is to reflect that. And I was like, you are arg. Like,
all right.
Or ill. It's like a pissed off internet. I don't know.
Oh my god.
Stream of conscious.
All right. We got Brad Brown at Blaster Nation asks, how the hell do you come up with such amazing panel layouts / action scenes / fucking everything?
Let me say first, Brad Brown, I love him and Leslie not as much as they love each other, but if they give me the chance.
Oh, yeah.
You're not reading Blaster Nation. At least read their dirty comic, which, fuck me. I don't know the title of right now, but you'll find it.
It could have been, fuck me.
Title. If ever I get a Slipshine comic, I'm going to call it, fuck me.
We should see about making one of those. I've always been curious, just for a lark, to make, like, the worst but dirtiest Slipshine comic ever.
You know what's so funny? I just, like, there was this, there's this comic in print called Black Kiss. Have you ever heard of it by Howard Chaykin?
Why does that, the name sounds really familiar. I think I've heard it talked about on a podcast before.
For a while, it was infamous for being, like, the most offensive comic. And I think that was his goal, is that he tried to be offensive and, like, just get it out of his system, basically, right? I was flipping, so it got a sequel. And Black Kiss 2, creatively enough. And I was flipping through it, and it was so funny because I was just like, man, how the mighty have fallen. Like, this might have offended someone once, but I was just like, oh, dick monster attacks the crowd?
This isn't offensive anymore. How droll.
Exactly. Dick monsters. That's Sesame Street shit.
I was going to say, Japan has got you so beat.
Exactly.
How pedestrian.
How pedestrian. Yeah. I will answer Brad. But no, him and this is high praise from Brad because he happens to be with a hell of an artist himself. But thank you, Brad. You guys rock. Read Blaster Nation too, everybody. But nah, man, for layouts and panels, I never overthink it. I always just try to look at what I've been doing too much of and then go in the other direction.
That's good advice.
So if the last page was talking heads, which anybody who reads my shit, sometimes you'll see where it's just a wall of sound and people will like always come out of the woodwork to be like, hate words! Hate words! And I'm like, guys, there will be a page if I felt the confidence to do this page of words, the next page is going to be like no words. It'll be okay.
It'll all work itself out. Everybody settled it. It's cool. It's fine.
Just try to push any other direction. If there's been too much small panels, then try to go big. If it's been too much the exact same shit, try to do something crazy. So, and the rule of thirds never hurt anybody. If you know the rule of thirds, like for photography, a lot of people just make it art too.
No idea.
Oh, rule of thirds. Now I'm going back to art class. Damn it!
Photographer. So what the rule of thirds is, though, chop up any square, which comics, you got tons of squares to work with. Chop up any square or layout or whatever you're looking at into three chunks. Then chop those three chunks into three chunks going up. Like, so you've got probably 9 chunks there. And then you can work with the points. Like, anything you place will have interest in composition.
Right. So always make sure there's something interesting in every third.
Well, or at least, what's cool about the rule of thirds is even if you only have one interesting thing on one of the thirds, it's going to create something visually interesting.
Right.
So it's helpful. It's a thing.
This has been your art school moment for the evening.
You thought that guy was full of shit. Rule of thirds, motherfucker.
James at Obscure Gent asks, why would someone as talented as him be working with a pony molester like Gary Cohen? Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
I like that the Baba Booey, Baba Booey was the end of the question. Gary Cohen, working with him, well, as James mentioned, he's the best pony molester in the business.
If you want a pony molested... Go no further.
He's the man. That's how he writes most of Malville. Slaps the paper on a pony ass, scribbles while he does his diddle.
Oh my god.
Everybody's got a muse.
That's it. And his happens to be tiny horse ass.
I need somebody to fluff this pony for me.
I would also like to say that my talent is an illusion. It's all tricks. Deception. I'm a hack. So, the best thing a hack can do is be near someone that's an even bigger hack than them.
Yes.
So, it creates the illusion of quality.
Surround yourself with hackitude. That's genius. Why haven't we been doing that?
We need to go out and find some really, really bad people and start surrounding ourselves with them.
Yeah. It's a grenade rule, you know? You always see, if you see a girl that's hot, she's probably going to have a bunch of uglier girls around her. That is, like, better than any fashion accessory she could get. Is that horrifying to say?
No, I just got an image in my head of this, like, this incredibly attractive woman, and she's, like, the central orbit of these incredibly disturbing, like, progressively disturbing chicks.
Exactly.
That was potent.
But, you know, there you go. That's me and Gary. That's how we roll. Plus, he said, would you draw this doctor character with the big old boobies? And I just can't say no.
Can't say no to boobies.
Can't say no. There you go.
James at Crescent Fresh asks, who influenced you as a child and as an adult?
I have a better way to answer this than I did previously. As a child, like I said, I guess I can't get too much more interesting, but it really was those wizard articles comboed with, like, game manuals and shit. So I really was, like, just copying and tracing out of, like, you know, whatever I could find pre-internet. It's funny. It's sad. People would be like, what the hell? But, like, as a kid, I had a notebook and I had cut out cool pictures from magazines and just scotch taped them in there just to have, like, access to kick-ass images. What a hilarious notion these days, right?
This is pre-internet. I mean, come on. You got to work with what you got.
That's it. So, I don't know. Like, those wizard articles, the rest of the magazine was shit. But you had Art Adams telling you about texture. Tape that shit, put that shit somewhere where you won't lose it. Like, before Scott McCloud even wrote his book, Understanding Comics, Mike Waringo did an article about how sequential art is all about time. And that shit blew my mind. So, yeah, man, I had, like, a lot of American comic artists, like, influence me that way. And a lot of Japanese shit, I guess, through, like, game manuals and strategy guides and things. As an adult, it's really weird because now that notebook and scotch tape is the world, it changes too much. It's I'm all over the damn map. So, like, I really like Brandon Graham, the guy that does Profit. And he does, shit. I know he's done more. King City. If you've ever read King City.
I have not.
We're going to go to the comic store, guys.
Let's go, guys. Come on.
No, you know what? After you finish Ronma, you go get some King City.
I have a shopping list now. This is officially going to become my Christmas list now. I'm just going to hand it over to my wife and be like, yeah, here, sweetie. What is all this? I don't know what any of this is. Doesn't matter. Just find it for me.
It's going to enrich us. Enrich us both. This is life enrichers.
So I got a bit of a, we're not quite done the Nets, but what would you say, because you talked a lot about your influences from a artistic perspective, and maybe it matches up, because, I mean, based on what I've read so far, I'd say so. What would you say are your biggest, like, writing influences? Where are you getting your kind of plots, your stories? Because having done this for as long as you have and not running out of steam,
mm-hmm.
I figure you gotta have something pretty good back there.
So you know what's fun and awesome is that if you, and it really is just like deconstructing what you read, like as entertainment. It sucks to be like critical and analytical because sometimes you can't just enjoy what you're reading. But it's awesome too because like I've been reading so much for so long. I get like a lot of influence from heavy metal, like a lot of European and French stuff. But I try to like blend in what I like. See, all you can ever do anyway, is just do what you like. But what's cool, I feel very lucky, very blessed, because I mean, like I said, growing up, it was absolutely like not an option. But like I have exposure to a lot of kick-ass, like, you know, Japanese comics. Heavy metal does a lot of French and European stuff. And a lot of people hate on superhero stuff, and I don't love a lot of it because it's just like corporate comics. But there's quality storytelling there too. So
there can be. They're capable of it.
They're good characters, but they're, a lot of the times they're killed by the fact that these guys have that rule list. They have to like maintain the quo. They can't really kill anybody, stuff like that. But, I mean, the biggest writers, more than anything, but I mean, well, I guess the point I was making there is that you're going to steal, writing-wise, from all of that stuff. So, like, when it comes down to fight scenes, like, nobody does it like Japanese. So when there's a fight going on, you know, I'm just taking from my influences there. When it's, I would say Savage Dragon is a shit ton of influence there, only because, like, he really was, like, when you read his stuff, more than anything, he just wants to surprise you. So he might not have the most kick-ass intricate story, but he's always going to have a surprise. And then the other thing is that, like, Grant Morrison, if you've ever read any of his stuff, what's cool is he always tries to, like, throw in little, like, almost stories within a story, little sub-things. So I took a lot from that, too.
Yeah.
Like, he's got that main story to tell, but there's so much storytelling you can do over the course of a story. So there's kind of some of that, too. So those guys are that's my real, like, influence map writing-wise.
Nice.
Very cool.
So, Gary Cohen, at Coincide, asks, according to issue number 1, page 11, Rodney lost his soul to a chia cow.
This is true.
Could you elaborate?
This is true. This is actually one of the cool things about Raven's Dojo is that I consider it all canon. It's all, everything that happened before I even had an internet connection, that shit was real. And the black and the comic he's referring to is online, but so you can actually go and read that issue where he loses his soul. But the comic, for I guess for people who don't give a shit or like don't want to go there, is just basically like he's playing video games, and there's a Chia cow on the couch next to him, just the inanimate object, and the controller's in front of him, and. The end. The punchline of that was, "Quiet fool, we're playing for souls." Which, you know, they were playing like a fighting game or something, right? So, like, then the next issue with Chia Cow or whatever, Chia Cow ends up getting killed by like one of the other characters. Still an inanimate object, still just like a Chia animal. But they have a full funeral for it and everything. So. Yeah, that is actually in there, and believe it or not, will actually be addressed in the future.
Nice. So,
yes, Rodney is without soul at the moment.
Ah, see, I like little things like that, little backstory items like that.
It's cool. I've been very. This is weird, like sort of like side project. It's very weird that like everything just congealed in a way that works. Because I can actually revisit those old things. My goal is to fix it to where you never have to read the old shit ever. Like the black and white stuff. So eventually that'll go down and it'll be all like, you can get all of that within the thing. But yeah, that's how he lost his soul. He was playing a fighting game. You can imagine Street Fighter or something like that. And Chia Cow, although an inanimate object, did manage to beat him. So when he died, he was in possession of his soul. And so... no soul for Rodney.
Damn.
That's high stakes video game.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think I've ever played a video game for soul.
You play for souls when you're serious.
I'm not serious, apparently.
There you go.
I like my soul intact.
Ooh, it's eternal. All
right, Mike Hearn asks, banana split or milkshake?
If it's the kind that brings all the boys to the yard, banana split.
Damn right, it's better than yours.
That's right.
I could teach you.
I don't have the money for to be taught.
Well,
I'd have to charge.
I would have to charge. So, I mean, we're at a bit of an impasse here.
Unless banana split is a reference to some sort of, like you go down to do a split and smash your weenie. Milkshake.
Oh, I don't want to know what a milkshake ends up being in that context then.
These are important things. It's all the context.
Our last question from the Nets comes from Vic C. at Departure Prodness. Wow, I butchered that, but I... can you read that better than I can?
Maybe short for Departure Productions.
There we go. I'm going to go with shortened. That. Yeah, I can figure things out.
Nope. It's actually Departure Prodness.
Departure Prodness.
Will you do more live action comics like the one on your YouTube channel? Because OMG, it's funny as hell.
So I gotta say, big up to Vic. Reed Zick. Victor Zick, which is a, Vic is a good chum, so that bastard. Everybody, you know what's funny? Him and Adam Black, the guy that does Locust, if they had their way, all I would do is, like, popsicle stick puppet videos. Quit this whole silly art.
Oh my god!
Foolish art dream. Quit drawing. It's a waste of time drawing. All you need is popsicle stick puppets and not even a proper camera. Just the video mode on a Funpix, a Nikon Funpix.
Okay, now I need to look this YouTube video up.
Apparently. Oh, God. What it is, though, to answer his question, unavoidably yes, that will happen. It's just not a priority. But it will happen. It can't. It was the craziest shit ever. I love April Fool's. I call it Pranksgiving.
Nice.
It, I was one April Fool's Eve, I was struggling to come up with an idea because I'd just been so busy with work, I didn't have any time to make anything. And so I was like, damn it! I was up till like 6 in the morning. And finally, I had to be like at work in like 2 hours. And I was like, if you don't make something right now, there's not going to be a Pranksgiving. So like dementia took over and I like decided to parody motion comics. And so I like just whipped out the popsicle puppets and like the camera and like, you know, my fiance's trying to sleep and oh I'm like screaming and like making, doing impressions and like, you know, setting things on fire.
And so sleep deprivation took over.
And a legend was born.
Wow.
It's the popsicle sticks that saved Pranksgiving.
Now I kind of have to see this. That's fantastic.
It's been more successful than it ever should have been. I'm not going to say a bane because I love it. But I haven't had the time to go back to it. So they wanted that to be my Kickstarter video. And I was like, guys, people would not know that I was doing a comic. They would be like, what the hell?
Look.
What am I funding exactly?
We'll give some money to the damaged guy here, all right? That's mine, right? Yeah, okay.
If I get $14,000, I can buy a whole lot of popsicles.
I like popsicles.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what he's referring to. And, yeah, there will indubitably be more more video comics.
So, talk about hate mail from the ladies. Do you still get it?
We found a comic that referenced that.
Hate mail from the ladies. You know what's so funny? I never did get hate mail from the ladies, not really.
Really? You didn't get any? Oh, I feel like we've ruined a legend or something.
No. What's so funny is that... Here's what's so funny. Is that, like... We live in, like, a weird time. Guys are white. There's a lot of white knights. But, like, they don't realize is that the ladies, they just don't give a fuck. Not most of them don't. Like, they see this stupidity as what it is. Just, you know, juvenile fun. So, I really don't actually get hate mail. Anything I have ever gotten, like, hateful has been from a guy.
Wow.
It's been from the white knights.
Yeah. I've had a lot of male concern. Well, I'll give you an example. Poor Vic, I'm busting his chops now. But I did a 3D pinup for the book. And like red and blue 3D, like you put on the classic retro 3D glasses. And it's like that's the drawing. It like comes out. But like in the picture, the most three-dimensional objects amongst them are like the female character Sarah's boobs. They're like coming right out at you, like the most like at you thing. To which, like my one friend Vic, he was like, you gotta scale that back. He's like, it's just too much.
You're gonna put an eye out.
Yeah, he, you know what's funny? Vic is a boob loving man.
I was gonna say you can't scale those boobs back.
You know, that's what I thought. But no, he was just, I guess he was just looking out for me. Guys were like afraid to like just embrace the boobs. But like, you know, what's funny is my female friend, she sent me her feedback and she was like, I said my female friend, like my one.
My one. The one.
I've got one.
The one girl that still talks to me.
Girl. I had a female friend that was like, she gave me her feedback and she said that it was her favorite part because it was, you know, funny to her. You know, she's like, oh, I like how you had the boobs coming out so much. And I was just like, well, there you go. You know, the two cancel each other out. If I ever got like, I think if you ever actually like, whenever you read it, you just realize too, though, it's not like I'm really trying to like feeling like I'm getting away with something or doing anything skeezy. It's almost always like some ridiculous.
No, it's all in good fun. You're not being like ridiculously chauvinistic or anything like that. And I just thought that was funny because Colin's like, you got hate mail? Like he's reading this comic. You got hate mail? It was for so yeah, that's kind of funny that it was all dudes.
I got more hate mail from like the worst, like the hardest, like thing I've ever done online. It's so weird. Raven's Dojo has been, and I know I'm jinxing myself, but it has been bliss. Pure bliss. There's been nothing, like one negative, like I honestly can count the negative things. There have been like three or four negative things over the last like 4.5 years or something, right? And before that, I was working on Keen Spot's video game comic, God Mode. Oh my God. That was a fucking hate farm.
Oh, you know what? At any time, well, I mean, we do video game comics. We know.
Don't you find that gamers, like, never mind. And what's funny is about Raven's Dojo is I think guys have more shame over it than women do. Most women like it. And in fact, I had a white knight fighting with me over one time. I have one guy that, like, doesn't, he's always like, Raven, you're scaring away all the women. You're never going to win. And I'm like, no, they don't care, you see.
You're scaring away all the women. I'm never going to be able to get them with a voice like this.
It was like, all the women, all of them are scared of you. Stately. No, but like, he was just always like busting my chops over it. And I was like, no, dude. And one time he asked me, he's like, does your mom and girlfriend think what you do is normal? And I was like, yes. They like it.
That's just, you know what? Yeah. We've got some of the best compliments that we've ever received from our parents have been on the dirtiest, filthiest comics.
That's true, actually. If ever we're going to get an email from our dear sweet mother about a comic, it is often on the ones that are the raunchiest.
She's like, oh, this comic today was with the big Hulk penis. That was so funny. And I'm like, what?
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Love ya.
Love you, Mom.
Oh, no, man. The way it goes. Like, that's the thing, is that, like, it's just people don't realize that it is okay. It's okay. And I actually have a lot of, like, a lot more than I guess people would think. Gary's running joke. Gary likes to say, oh, I bet Raven's Dojo fans are weird. And I'm like, nah, they're normal.
No. Malville Rules fans are weird, okay?
Malville Rules. No, you know, I bet they're normal, too. They probably just...
No,
like,
you know what? That's just it. I think that the whole... people that like this shit are weird thing is finally starting to go the way of the dodo. I mean, for a long time there, I think there was a stigma with regular comics for the longest time. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think that stigma's really there anymore. It's just with the older crowds.
Don't you find that, like, never mind, I could make a comic that could be, like, racist or chauvinistic or whatever... And, I mean, I would never be as scared to put that up as I am to put up a video game comic that wasn't 100% God's gift to video game comedy.
Oh, God, why do we do this to ourselves?
You know, because it's good link bait.
Yeah, I know, and you're just going to make me cry after this. That's great. Why do I do it?
Because they're just like... Hey, man, this fucking comic's shitty. Everything you do is shit in your shit.
That is about the things that, yeah, that's comments we've had. So we're sitting at just past the hour mark. Way we usually end this podcast is one last question, which is, do you have any questions for us?
Oh, jeez. You've really put me on the spot.
Surprise!
Well, okay. Question for you guys. What would you like to see more from guests on your show? Is there anything I can provide you that you never get from a person you're interviewing?
Oh, God, how do I
know? Why would you turn that around on us like that? That's just cruel, man.
Is there anything you want from me?
I feel like...
That was...
Fantastic job. You've interviewed the shit out of me. We've both had a laugh, and we both learned things. And other things, too, I want to say. Good job making jokes, because straight interviews are boring. They are. I've had some straight interview time, and I don't like it.
It's, yeah.
I really appreciate that. No, wow.
What do you not get from a guest? I'll give you that shit right now.
Oh, man. No, so, like, that's just it.
We can't say anything. Well, plus, like...
We've gotten so much from our... Like, that's just it. Like, honestly... I'm having a hard time of thinking of something we haven't received from a guest, because we've had songs written in our name, literally. We get fantastic podcast covers and fan art done up. We had all those thank yous from the Daniel Barton webcomic show podcast. I mean, oh man, I mean, I'm stopping short of fellatio here.
We're gonna need a sex tape.
I'm gonna need a sex tape, yeah.
I'll get right on that.
All right. Maybe that could...
Talk to Gary if he can help you with some specialties.
Talk to Gary,
specialties.
See if he can help you. And also, yeah, and also popsicle sticks.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Popsicle stick sex tape.
Popsicle stick
happen.
Porno. That's what... There it is. That's your next YouTube sensation. Popsicle stick porno.
That's it. All right. Hey, ain't nobody got time for that.
They will make time.
Oh, I was going to say, I'll make time. Don't you worry. I will make time. Raven, thank you so much for joining us.
And everybody, Kickstarter, go, 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 go. Raven's Dojo.
Seriously, reminder everybody, go check out Raven's Dojo on the Kickstarters. We're going to have a link posted along with this podcast. So be sure to check that out and support that. Support your artists.
Even if you don't have any money too, I can't stress it enough. I've done advertising for this like crazy. Nothing makes as big an impression as having somebody that you know, who you know knows your tastes and whatnot, tell you to check something out. So please tell your friends, you know, through whatever you choose. Smoke signal if you gotta. But just tell your friends. Even Absolutely. If you don't have any money, that is huge.
That is very good. That is a very good point. And now, to whore ourselves a little bit, if you are interested in sponsoring an episode of the Twex podcast, please contact us, fanmail at twext.com or on Twitter at twext_dot_com. And we will give you details so that you can have your name and whatever you're trying to pimp on one of our shows.
You could probably make us say some pretty...
Awful things. Yeah,
for a relatively low price.
Exactly.
It's
at this point, we're pretty much we're willing to do that.
Yeah.
Really? Fantastic. Remarkable.
That's it. Oh, you got a solid evil.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man.
Oh, I'm Brandon of Twex.com.
I'm Colin of Twex.com.
I'm Raven Perez of RavensDojo.com.
Good night, folks.
BSTS, balls, stuck to leg. For the motherfucking win. All day my balls have been itching, sticking to my leg. Yeah, my left leg. All I can think about is every time I walk about, my balls are stuck to my leg. I can't believe how bad I need to take a shower and a wash of balls. I'll take a shower.